You are listening to Agent Court Church's audio podcast. For more information on Agent Court Church, including service times, how to connect, and campus locations, please visit our website at onechurch.to.
My name is Jan, and Pastor Jonathan asked me to do a teaching to help you fall-proof yourself for this fall. So here's my first question. What might you fall for this fall? Would it be some awesome promotion you see on the internet? They're all over the place. I was on YouTube last week and I thought, oh, thank you, great sermon illustration. There was an ad that popped up and said, lose 30 pounds in 30 days. No diet, no exercise, no fads. I'm like, wow, that's awesome. Word to the wise, do not click on everything, right? How about falling into some money? Wouldn't say no to that. I want to show you a picture. This is a picture of Manuel Garcia. And Manuel had hopes of falling into some big money. Do you see him standing underneath his local Walmart pharmacy drive sign, hoping that the P would fall, knock him on the head, render him unconscious, and when he came to, he could sue Walmart for some big money. I'm like, are you sure something didn't already drop on your head? So he posted the photos, you know, and day one, posted photo. Day two, he changed his status to say, still waiting. Day three, still there. The P never fell on his head. But he didn't fall into any big money. But he sure fell into publicity. 18,000 likes for this photo, and I think it was over 42,000 shares. Like, seriously, people. I hope you're not waiting for something to fall and knock you on the head, but guaranteed, both the leaves and the temperature will fall. How many felt that chill over the past couple of days? Guaranteed you will have moments over this fall, because I know the pace quickens, where we come home at night, we want to fall into bed and just shut out the world. Am I right? I hope that you will neither fall down, fall behind, fall short, or fall sick. Some of you might fall gloriously in love. Ooh, that could happen. And sadly, others of us will wonder, is life ever going to start to fall into a groove for me? Am I ever going to get my rhythm? Sometimes you fall, and everybody knows about it, and you're so riddled with shame. Sometimes it's a private fall, and nobody knows but you, and you got blindsided, and you got knocked down, and the fall is so bad, you're wondering, how am I going to get myself back up? Sometimes people make really bad choices, and we're on the sidelines of their life watching them, how their bad choice causes them to fall and lose a great job or a great relationship or even their reputation. Sometimes people fall so badly that they even bail on their faith and they blame God or think he doesn't care. I think that's the saddest of all. I hope I can shed some light on that this weekend. Falls happen all the time. Are they just inevitable? They're going to happen to us, or can they be prevented? Or could I even suggest to you this truth that God actually loves you, and he wants to secure your life with his love and truth so that falls, those big life mess-ups, happen a whole lot less. So I've got four truths for you, and then we're going to pray and have communion, okay? Number one, here's my first truth to fall-proof you this fall. Don't place yourself in harm's way. Well, yeah, that's a given. You'd think, wouldn't you? Okay, this past spring, our Toronto News had not but one, two very interesting stories. Look at this picture. Did you hear about this on the news? This gal in April, I believe, was charged with six counts of mischief when she found herself dangling precariously on the edge of a crane. Look at her, 25 stories in the air. A dramatic and dangerous and costly rescue mission had ground lookers watching and wondering, a couple of things. How did she ever get up there and shimmy her way down the pulley? How did she not fall off? And the bigger question, why? What was she thinking? Did she know how close she came to falling? Okay, then in May, there was another story of another girl who tried to jump from one downtown rooftop patio to the next. And not a big jump, but the material separating the two buildings that she thought would hold her didn't. And this girl plummeted 40 feet and was wedged between the two buildings and suffered very serious injuries. I may be out on a limb here, but I'm going to ask it, why? Why place yourself in harm's way? Is it just the thrill, the excitement of what could happen? Like, why would you do that? It's interesting that when the paramedics rescued this girl, they reported that they took her to the hospital in stable condition. You know, stable would not be my first choice of word to describe this girl. Why place yourself in harm's way? And you're probably sitting there thinking, you're so right. I would never do that or jump across buildings. I'd never put myself in harm's way. Really? How many of us have put ourselves in situations where the alarm bells are ringing and the warning lights are going off and everything is going, get out of there, run, turn, leave, don't answer that text, don't answer that email, don't click on that website, don't get in that car with that person, don't. And yet there's an enticement, there's a thrill, and we're like the old Fred Flintstone cartoon. Any of you remember Fred Flintstone? Okay, good. You know, I thought I'd be the only old person that knew the Flintstones. Fred wasn't the brightest caveman in the patch. And there's this one cartoon where Fred, as he often did, had a dilemma in front of him, a choice. And on one of his shoulders is little tiny angelic Fred going, "Don't do it, Fred, don't do it." And on the other shoulder is what? Nasty devil Fred going, "You big wimp, come on, do it." And Fred, he succumbs. And it's sometimes like us. The appeal is there, and we should listen to the warnings, but we don't. We push the boundaries, and we dabble, and we test the limits. And if we're not careful, a nasty fall is about to happen. And some of you may be here today, right now, and there is a decision in front of you, a choice, a reaction, that if you go down that road, a calamity is going to happen. Look what Scripture says about this. Proverbs says, "Pride precedes destruction. An arrogant spirit gives way to a nasty fall." What is an arrogant spirit? It's someone who says, "I got this. I don't need your advice. I don't need your help. I know myself. I know when I'm going to go too far." And the person who digs in their heels and cements their will against God and doesn't listen to the checks that he uses, if he's not careful, if she's not careful, a calamity is bound to happen. I don't want you to be the casualty of a bad choice this fall. Heed the warnings. Turn, run, leave, whatever it takes to get out of the way, because falls can be catastrophic. And I think if the girl was here who found herself wedged between the buildings will tell us, sometimes a fall is so bad, the recovery is not possible. Proverbs 28:14 says this, "Happy is the one who always fears the Lord." You cannot go wrong obeying God. You just can't. Anytime you get that check from the Holy Spirit and there's like a reservation, listen, obey God, because the person who hardens his heart, just digs in his heels, falls into misfortune. Are you listening to God's voice today? Have the alarm bells been ringing and you keep putting them on, you know, mute or on hold? Listen to the checks. To obey God is always right. It could save you from a fall. Siegfried and Roy. You ever heard of them, Siegfried and Roy? World-acclaimed illusionists, often known for their performances with wild animals. They were doing a show on October the 3rd, 2003. It was a routine they had done hundreds of times. And Roy, he suddenly appeared in the spotlight with a six-year-old white male tiger. When suddenly, Roy, he slipped on the stage for no apparent reason, which startled the 600-pound animal, who proceeded to lunge at him, grab him by the neck, and carted him off stage like a limp rag doll. And so the stagehands, they rushed in to rushed him to hospital. He nearly died from the laceration on his neck. In a Larry King interview afterwards, his partner Siegfried attempted to explain what went wrong. And the two words that he used to describe what went wrong were, "Roy slipped." I don't want that to be the description of what happened to you this fall. You know, we tried to warn her, we tried to talk to him, but he was just so proud, so hard-headed, he wouldn't listen. And they slipped. Paul in the New Testament, and he wrote much of our New Testament, he writes this: "If you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall." He's given us a warning. Heed the checks. Obey God's voice. You know, sometimes we think, well, you know, if I obey God, where's all the fun in life? Let me tell you this. God's plan is never plan B. He doesn't give you like the value village plan for your life. He doesn't, you know, give you the bargain basement. You know, it's so-so. It's not plan B. It's the best. And if God is putting warnings in your path, and he's maybe using someone else who is wise and you trust to counsel you against a certain decision, listen. It could save you from a terrible fall. Maybe you're sitting there thinking, but Jan, the pull in that direction is so strong. The lure, the enticement, I don't know if I can withstand. Paul goes on and he finishes, "No temptation has overtaken you except that what is common to mankind, and God is faithful." To do what? "He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way so you can endure it." I do know this. If you humble your heart before God, the Bible says that a broken and contrite spirit, he will never say no to. He will either airlift you out of the situation, or he will come into the situation with you and give you the power to endure it. He absolutely will. And what you thought would do you in will actually become a testimony that you can share with others of what God's grace has done in your life. So keep out of harm's way, listen to the checks, because it could save you from a nasty fall. Okay, here's our second point. Reach for the hand that is always reaching for you. What do I mean by that? Well, falls happen. I think we can agree with that. Sometimes we make poor decisions, we fall, and we're so ashamed. That happens. Sometimes we get knocked down, and we fall down so badly that it feels like it's impossible to get back up again. Sometimes it's just other people's choices, and you're tied to them, and down you go. Falls happen. The question is, what are you going to do about it now? Yeah, but Jan, if you knew how bad I have fallen and the mess up that I have done and how complicated it is, you know what? It's just easier to stay in the mud. Have you ever walked through some really deep mud and you walk, but your boots are left behind? You ever done that? You know, sometimes it's just easier to give up and wallow in the mud. Well, dear one, that's not what God has for you. I want to encourage you with some words from someone who knew what it was to fall. David, he wrote these verses that we're going to read in a minute from Psalm 40. David was a man who knew what it was to be either pushed down into a pit because people were out to get him. He knew what it was to be down, or he knew what it was to make such miserable personal decisions that he dug his own pit and fell in himself. But the good thing about David was he didn't stay down for the count. He knew where to look to, and he knew where to reach up to. Psalm 40, let's read it. I waited patiently for the Lord. I said this in the 9 o'clock service. You know, God's timing is not always our timing. I often say, you know, Lord, I pray about something, and sometimes on Sunday, you know, I'll get that assurance in my heart, woo, the answer is coming. And I am so expectant. I have figured it out that by Wednesday, that gives God 3 days to come through. Like, where is the answer? But we have to wait patiently for God. He turned to me and heard my cry. He always does that. He will turn to you. He will hear your cry. He lifted me up out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my heart. I love it when God takes away the depression and takes the blues and gives you a song of praise. A hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear the Lord and put their trust in him. God wants to do that for you. David may have been pushed down and fell down, but he didn't stay down. He knew he could reach for God, and God always rescued him. God will do it for you too. This is really good news for some of us today, because have you ever found this out? You can be in a pit, and not everybody wants to help. A man fell into a pit and couldn't get himself out. A legalist said, well, you deserve your pit. An accountant asked, are you paying taxes on that pit? A mathematician calculated how he fell into the pit. A realist said, ooh, that's a pit. An optimist said, things will get better. A pessimist said, things will get worse. And Jesus, what did he say? He saw the man, the woman in the pit, and he reached out. No judgment, no condemnation, no words of accusation going, you're in the pit again? He just reached down, pulled him up out of the pit, washed off the residue of the pit, and gave him a song to sing. And he wants to do that for you, dear one. But Jan, I am in so deep. I hear this all the time. I am in so deep. It is so bad. I don't think I'm good enough for God to help. You're the very person he's looking for. Like, his radar is on you, friend. He knows how badly you've fallen. He knows how burdened you are with shame and distress. But he's not coming to beat you up further. God's hand is always a hand of restoration. His love for you is not conditional on exceptional behavior. Did you catch that? If that were the case, every one of us in this room, every one of us, even Pastor Van, all of us, would be excluded because we all have sinned, we all have fallen short of God's mark. So you can either choose to stay defeated and keep in the mud, or you can know that you are loved by your Father in heaven, and his hand is reaching for you, regardless of the state you found yourself in. Brennan Manning, one of my most favorite authors, he words this so well. Look at this. He loves you right now. Not after we clean up our act and get all our ducks in a row. Isn't that true? We sort of think, okay, I know I need to get things right with God, and I'm going to do that when. No, delete that. He loves you right now. You can come to him right now. Not after we have eliminated every trace of sin, selfishness, dishonesty, and degraded love from our resume. Not after we have developed a disciplined prayer life and spent 10 years in Calcutta with Mother Teresa's missionaries. But right now, he loves you right now. His arms never get tired of lifting up a fallen child. He never says to you, you again, never. His grace lasts a lifetime. You have not exhausted God's patience. He knows if your track record is less than stellar. And regardless of how you got in your pit, how long you've been there, regardless of what your pit is, it could be an angry pit, a fearful pit, a lustful pit. Maybe you got tossed in the pit. Maybe you just messed up and you made your own pit and fell in. It does not matter. There is a hand reaching for you, and it is the gracious hand of God. And when he grabs onto you, I'm telling you this, you don't let go, because I can assure you there is a keeping power of Jesus to hold on to you forever, long as you don't let go. Jude, look at this beautiful verse. Now all glory to God, who is able to keep you from falling. That's how we fall-proof our fall, right there, and will bring you with great joy into his glorious presence without a single fault. How can you be so sure, Jan, that Jesus has the keeping power for me? Like, do you know how bad I am? I can stand and give this assurance 100% because he is the living, resurrected Jesus. And the very same power that he used to snap the shackles of sin and death that tried to keep him in the pit are the same power that he uses to lift you out of the pit. And it is the resurrection saving power of Jesus Christ that holds you solid and keeps you right up until he brings you to heaven. And you know what? I'd like to think of it this way. When we get home to heaven, and Jesus presents us before the Father, and he has his arm around me, and we walk up together to the throne, and he goes, Father, here's Jan. You know she was quite a handful. And I'm a little worried. Oh, I've not done things always the way I should. I've messed up. Is that gonna, you know, be brought up? There is no record of accusation brought. There is no pulling out of a sheet going, she did this, 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 and this, and this. There is only my Jesus saying, this is my daughter. She trusted in me. And my blood has covered every fault, every failure, every falling. And Father, I'm presenting her to you blameless. Oh, it don't get much better than that, people. The best thing you can do to fall-proof yourself this fall is to get up every day and just say, Jesus, here's my hand. I'm putting it in yours. Keep me from falling. Let's do life together. Best thing you could ever do. Okay, let's get really practical now. Here's something else we can do to fall-proof our fall. Make some new choices. Ever bumped into something because you were on your phone? Come on. I know you're out there. Did you know that hospital emergency rooms have reported that injuries due to distracted walkers have more than quadrupled in the past 7 years? Here are some actual accounts. A 24-year-old woman who walked into a telephone pole while texting. A 28-year-old man who was walking along a road when he fell into a ditch while talking on a phone. A California man, because we Canadians would never do this, was texting his boss and nearly strolled into the path of a 400-pound black bear. The distracted texter was only a few feet away when he looked up, saw the bear, and ran. I don't know if that was the best thing to do, but regardless, we need to do things differently. We need to make some new choices. If you want to stay out of certain holes, what are you going to have to do? God will pull you up out of the hole. He will clean you up. He will give you new shoes. He's going to put a song in your heart. But I'm telling you, when you get up the next morning, it is your 2 feet that will have to go one in front of the other. You are going to have to make some new choices if you want to keep out of that same old hole. right? Well, Pastor Jan, you know, I don't know about that. Doesn't it say somewhere in the Bible about God putting a shield of protection around my life? And it doesn't really matter where I go because the shield of protection is around me and God will just keep me from falling. Well, I hope that works for you because I have found that I have merrily walked into situations that I knew were not good for me. Merrily walked right into them, hearing the warnings going, you should not do this, you should not do this, and like, I'm going to deal with that later, walked right into it, and there was no wall of protection protecting me. And it could happen again and again unless I get up every day and say, God, I choose today to live my life in a way that honors you. I want to be obedient to you. With these 2 feet, one in front of the other, I want to make choices that are right in your eyes. That's how we keep from falling. Well, Jan, can you give me some help here? I don't always have the strength to do it, and the pull is so hard that way. How am I going to know what to do? Thank you for asking. Let me help you with this verse from Psalm. Your ways and your voice now guide my journey. What does that mean? Whose ways? God's ways and God's voice now guide my journey. How do we know God's ways? How do we know God's voice? Will God drop a note from heaven and tell you what to do? He already dropped a book. If you want to know God's ways, that's reading the Bible. If you want to know the voice of God, you don't have to get weird about it. Just pray and talk to him. Those two things, I guarantee, will help keep you from falling. He says, I will press on, moving steadfastly forward along your path. I will not look back. I will not stumble. Why? Because David knew that there was a secret source of holding his life steady, and it was getting to know the ways of God and getting to hear his voice. Reading your Bible and prayer. It is an amazing strategy for success. You know, the Christian life is not that complicated. Your ways, your voice. Read the Bible and pray. But Jan, have you seen the Bible? It's such a big book, and the print is so small. Like, I have no sweet clue where to start. Yeah, I could see how that would be daunting. YouVersion.com. YouVersion.com is a great Bible reading app that you could check into to get a simple way to read the Bible. Or how about this? How about reading a psalm and or a proverb every day? They are like bite-sized chunks of spiritual vitamins. I guarantee it. And I am with a host of people here. I know you're out there. You stand with me in saying, reading God's word, praying to him. And you know, it doesn't have to be complicated. Prayer is like talking to a friend. You know, we get together with our friends and we thank them. Thank you, friend, for coming and seeing me. Thank God for something. Bring him your requests. What's bothering you? Tell God about it. If you've messed up, don't hide it. He already saw. You might as well confess it and get it out of the way. Receive his love, his forgiveness. Listen to him. And when you're all done praying, just say, okay, God, here I am, I just give it all to you. It will change your life. I told people in the first service, I'm going to stand true in the second service. I guarantee, foolproof, that if you make a strategy this September, so September the 3rd, you've got a few days of grace, the rest of the month, if you every day read your Bible and pray, I guarantee you'll have more peace. I guarantee you'll make less foolish decisions. I guarantee that you'll be more sensitive to the warnings, and I guarantee that you will fall a whole lot less. And if it doesn't work, come and see me at the info desk on October the 3rd, and I'll take you to Tim's. And we'll talk about it. But you won't be getting any free coffee unless I see the log. I want to see the log of where you read your Bible, chapter and verse, and where you prayed. I want to see the times. If it doesn't work, we're going to get a Tim's coffee together, and I will try to convert you to a better way. Okay? We got to make new choices. If we want to keep from falling, that's the only way we're going to do it. Make some new choices with life. Okay, final truth this morning. And communion servers, would you make your way out so that you can serve us, please? Here's our final truth. Look out for other fallen ones. If you've got a story of how God pulled you up out of the pit and just turn your failure story to a testimony of how good God is, that's just not for you alone. It's for you to share and for you to be the voice of encouragement to someone else. We're not islands unto ourselves. We, and especially as the community of faith, we need to be on the lookout for other people. If you're not a Christ follower here today, you get a pass. But if you are following Jesus, look what Paul says in Romans. We who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. We need to be on the lookout for other people. If God has done a rescue mission in you, you need to be on the lookout so you can do it for someone else. I found this very interesting story. A woman by the name of Shirley Digert, for her 54th birthday, signed up for a skydiving lesson. Obviously, she didn't want to live to her 55th birthday, but anyways, when the big day arrived, Shirley strapped herself to her instructor, Dave, to do a tandem dive. After jumping from the plane, Dave and Shirley pulled the ripcord. It worked properly, but the parachute became tangled and only opened partially. Skydivers also carry a reserve parachute, but the primary parachute had wrapped itself around the release point for the reserve parachute, and now neither were working. Spiraling toward the ground, Dave gave Shirley a strange command. Shirley, lift up your feet. And although she didn't understand, she obeyed. Dave then rotated his body under hers in order to bear the impact of their landing. I could hardly believe it, she said. He broke my fall. Shirley walked away relatively uninjured. Dave survived but was left paralyzed from the neck down. In an interview, he told CBS News, people keep telling me it was a heroic thing to do. In my opinion, it was just the right thing. I was completely responsible for her safety. Is this not an incredible story? At what great personal cost did he save that woman? And I don't recommend jumping out of planes. See point one again about harm's way. Don't do it. But could we apply it in this way? Has God put someone in the proximity of your life? And we all have them. We all have them. God wants you to be a brace of love and support and encouragement for them. And I think as a church, we can talk a lot about no love and impact, but I believe this is going to be a fall when people are going to wander onto our campus for all sorts of reasons. And sometimes they show up and they are a train wreck. You can tell it a mile away. And we sort of, you know, we hope they sit over there. Other times they show up and they look awesome, but they are suffering silently. Who is God going to put in the pew beside you? And God forbid, they might sit in your seat. It's okay. Can we get past that and believe that we just don't come to church to be blessed? We're already blessed. Deuteronomy 33:26 says that the everlasting God is your refuge, and underneath you are his everlasting arms. Dear one, God's got you. He's got you eternally, securely. He's got you. So rest in that and be okay with that. Stop rehearsing your drama, and could we be on the lookout for other fallen ones? Because I believe if we're on the ready to receive them, God will trust us with them. So I don't know how this message landed for you. I don't know if you're here and you've fallen and you've been really discouraged and you could hardly dare believe that God would ever lift the likes of you. He really loves you. He wants to lift you up. All you have to do is say, Jesus, I am in a pit. Would you please lift me out? And he will. And if you're out and you're struggling to keep out, make sure you grab it onto his hand, because there is a keeping power of Jesus. It's unlike any help program that you could ever enlist, and as good as they are, he has the power to keep you. But we need to make some good choices. And if you would commit to a strategy this fall of reading your Bible and praying, God will reinforce your life so that falls happen a whole lot less. And I believe if we do it, be ready, because God's going to bring someone close to you that you can help too. All right? Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you for your love, and we thank you that you are able to keep us. Oh, wow, that just gives us such assurance and such courage, Lord, that we don't have to do this life alone, struggling so. Father, help people to hold on to your hand and to believe that your love and grace is enough for the likes of them. Do it, Lord. And Jesus, I pray that you would secure the steps of those who have been faltering, wavering. They're on the edge of that pit and almost ready to fall back in. Spirit of God, I pray that you would come upon their lives. I pray that you would help them, Lord, to read your word, and that every time they open it, let something be made alive to their spirit that helps them. Help them to pray and talk to you. And Jesus, I pray for all of us that we would be on the lookout this fall of 2017 for other fallen ones, that we could steady their steps. In Jesus' name, amen.
Make sure you don't miss a message by subscribing to this podcast. All creative content and production for this podcast is provided by the One Church Creative Team.